G'day everyone, and welcome to episode 47 of X-Band, the Phantom Podcast. Thank you once again to all those who have contributed to our Patreon site. We are now able to add more content. Now we just need to get our schedules to align in order to do so. Now what you're about to hear is two conversations that Dan has had with Peter Kingston and Dietmar Liederwasch, who are the creators of the Phantom Art Show, which is currently touring Australia. These conversations link back to X-Band episode 42, where Dan, Chris, Gary and Angus reviewed the Toowoomba exhibition of the Phantom Art Show. Now, these interviews were recorded in the period between the Broken Hill and Toowoomba exhibitions. The Broken Hill exhibition opens on the 30th of September. For full dates for the tour of the Phantom Art Show, you can find them on the Chronicle Chamber website, along with reviews of the show and details of related merchandise collectibles are also on the website. The following interviews offer some insight into why two men would collect and commission Phantom-themed artworks from some of Australia's most renowned artists. Please note that the music used throughout the podcast is taken from Fanta, F-A-N-T-A, which is the film Peter Kingston created with Gary Shedd and Gavin Wilson. Enjoy.
G'day everybody and welcome to the X-Band podcast, a very special episode today as we talk to Peter Kingston, one of the curators of the Phantom Art Show that's currently travelling up and down the east coast of Australia. Good evening Peter, thanks for joining us.
Good evening.
Thanks very much for agreeing to have a chat to us today, Peter. Really appreciate it. The Phantom Art Show is a fantastic exhibition, I can vouch, and really pleased to be able to have the chance to talk to you about it.
Great.
So before we get into the art show itself, Peter, obviously you're a Phantom fan, with the PH, of course. How long have you been into the Phantom, and what's your personal history with the character?
I'm now 73, so I can't remember a time when I wasn't interested in the Phantom. The Phantom comics, of course, you know, the black and white comics. And we do stop at Wilson McCoy. We really draw a line. So many cartoons, comics, Crazy Cat, Cats and Jammer Kids. When the artists die, the strip, they don't continue the strip on. And I'm very sorry to see them continue the Phantom on, because I think after Ray Moore and Wilson McCoy, it becomes soulless and slick, and we try not to have any of those sort of works in the show, but a couple of them do creep in. You've obviously read our catalogue.
Yes. Yeah, brilliant.
It sort of has a very good meeting with Lee Falk, who created the Phantom after he created Mandrake. And he came out here to he was involved in a film making about the Phantom here. And Dear Jennings, who created Mambo, he talked to Lee Falk, and Lee Falk was sort of bemused that we're interested in the old artists of the Phantom. He likes the modern artists, and it's a totally different world. And you'll see that if you study the beautiful old comics. They really are works of art. Gary Shedd and I started, we like the humour in the Phantom, and we like the very understated things in it. It's hard to put into words, really. And we had our first show in 1973, I think, at the Ray Hughes Gallery in Brisbane. And we've been having shows ever since.
Oh, okay.
So that's, what, 73, 30? Gee, that's nearly 40 years, is it? Something like that.
Yes, well, that's to before I was born, Peter. So,
before you were born.
Yes. So you have been doing it for all my lifetime and then some. So very impressive.
That's right. And we've all gone off on different tangents. We all worked on Oz magazine as cartoonists, Gary and I and Mick Glasheen, and the Phantom's always stuck with us. It's just something that I mean, I've forged ahead more with painting and drawing and being an artist, but I come back to, I love cutting out the wooden toys, and I didn't think I could progress that, but I have. I've sort of started cutting them out of recycled timber and leaving the wood grain, leaving the, I didn't do that before. It was more sort of painting like comics, just totally painted. Anyway, I'm enjoying cutting them out again, and gee whiz, I don't know where this is going to end, this fandom business. It just seems to go on and on. I like what you said in your podcast that our show had fandom stuff you won't see anywhere else, and it's true. You won't see 40 artists all interpreting their versions of the fandom.
No, absolutely. Just to take you back a little bit, I'm interested by what you said about your interest in Ray Moore and Wilson McCoy as the artists, and I think most people would agree.
Yes.
That those are, you know, obviously two of the big three, if I could put it that way, because a lot of people would say that.
Well, the third one being Lee Falk.
Oh, so why is that? Because
that's where the
slick,
slickness started. Oh yeah, soulless and slick. It's a totally. Do you know Ginger Meggs, the comic strip Ginger Meggs?
Yes, yep.
You must know that's probably our most famous homegrown comic.
Yes.
And it is appalling. They should have buried it when Banks died. They should have buried Ginger Meggs. And it's just limped on. It's still going, and it is appalling. It's absolutely tragic. And same as Mae Gibbs. Her stuff's now being redrawn, and all her black and white drawings are being coloured in, and the people who own the charities who own the copyright, they're just interested in the dollar. I mean, it's just wicked, you know, and I'm afraid that's happened to the Phantom too. But as I said before, if you look at Crazy Cat and all those great American comics, Henry, Nancy and Sluggo, apart from Blondie, the chick Young's son, took it on, and he did a pretty good job of it. But now we stick with, we're purists, you know. We stop at Wilson McCoy. I actually spoke to Wilson McCoy's grandson, and I rang him up. These days with a computer, you can sort of, we looked up some original artwork. We thought the show should have some original frames. And they're sort of like $3,000, you know, for two or three frames. And
amazing,
we didn't really. It is amazing. I think they have a lot, but they're releasing them slowly. Do you know what I mean? Supply and demand. Anyway, we got on to Wilson McCoy's grandson, and we told him that his grandfather was our favourite artist. He was so pleased. So that was fantastic. That was a real contact to make, you know. So they're all. Lee Falk and the other two are not with us anymore. So that's the way it is, and we'll keep the dream alive with the black and white comics. And the occasion, there are coloured ones, of course, that were Sunday papers.
Hmm. So I was going to ask you at one point who of the modern artists you like. So the Felmangs and the Saviooks and the Sal Velluto, for instance, you don't like any of those?
I don't even never heard of these people. Never heard of them. I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Fair enough.
We're stuck with the original and the best. And my God, they were good, you know. I mean, they have the Phantom Club and everything. Do you belong to that?
Yeah. Do you mean John Henderson's club from Brisbane in the...
I don't know, but I know they don't care who the artist was, most of those Phantom clubs, you know, as long as it's Phantom, it's good enough for them, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't think our Phantom shows are for Phantom fans. Our shows are for everybody.
So are you getting mostly art lovers come through, or is it Phantom fans who are keen to have a look at history? Or
in Sydney, it was mainly people who just like art, you know. I'm not sure about the makeup of the show. They haven't really sent us much information. Wollongong, they have a thing in Wollongong called Comic Gong. Have you heard of that? Over a weekend, all these people dress up as their favourite characters, and they make the outfits themselves, and they are astonishing, absolutely astonishing. So that's why they had the show in Wollongong, to have it with that. And that's when it really worked. So these were people who not necessarily liked the Phantom, they just loved the comic world.
Right.
So with Mackay, I haven't got much information about who came to see the show. Usually the thing is a lot of people that don't usually go to art galleries come. That's why they're very happy about that.
Well, as I said in the podcast I gave from the Toowoomba Gallery, the director of the gallery there basically told me that she was keen to get the show to Toowoomba to draw in a new crowd. And
that happened?
Yes.
You know more than us, because we don't really hear from them.
Well, unfortunately, she wouldn't go on the record, but that was just from the conversation. She said that there was one of the bigger shows that they'd had and was more popular, and there was people were coming through that she hadn't seen before, as well as, of course, all of the regulars.
Oh, I wish we knew that. Yeah, we're sort of like flying blind a bit with it. I think the Toowoomba show was... We chose Toowoomba because it was between Mackay and Broken Hill. That was like throwing a dart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And we rang Toowoomba up, and I think they were quite surprised. You know, quite surprised. I don't know if they knew much about the Phantom. Anyway, they took it on, which is great because it's only a little gallery, isn't it? You know, it's
yes.
I think Mackay's much more funded, but. Quentin Bryce is a friend of mine. Dame Quentin Bryce is it's the only good thing Tony Abbott ever did. He called her Dame Quentin. I saw her in Sydney. I said, "Look, you wouldn't open our show in Toowoomba, would you?" She said, "Look, I certainly will." She said, "We live at Indooroopilly," and so that, now she's not Governor General. And what a great Governor General she was. You know, she was a very firm hand in very turbulent times, if you remember. Mm. And she's the most gorgeous person. She turned up to the opening with Michael, her husband, dressed as Diana Palmer. Can you believe it?
I was there at the opening and heard her speak, and I thought she was wonderful.
Did it dawn on you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the safari explorer outfit she was wearing.
The riding jacket, the cravat. I mean, almost jodhpurs. But she didn't make a big deal of it. Do you know what I mean?
No, it was subtle enough. Yeah, absolutely.
It just dawned on me. I thought, my goodness, she's come dressed as Diana Palmer. I mean, how about that? What a good sport she is. Not your usual Governor General, puffed up and self-important,
Absolutely. And it was...
And Michael, her husband, he wanted to talk too, as you heard, and he'd made those rings with a 3D printer.
Hmm.
I don't know how that works, but he was handing out plastic rings, phantom rings. And he did that wonderful drawing of a phantom jet fighter.
Which now hangs in the exhibit as well.
Which it just joined the caravan. It's joined the show. So he's now an exhibiting artist in the show. But, that was beyond our wildest dreams. What a success that was and what good sports they were. I think, and the galleries, loved it, I think. It made a really great opening. So I just hope we can match that. I'm trying to get... As you know, there's nothing like a dame, and we're trying to get Dame Marie Bashir to open our show in Manly.
And that's where it goes there next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
Everything is next year. I cannot believe it. This show was meant to run for 3 weeks, and now it's into its second year. And we will be in Los Angeles in 2018.
Right.
I mean, and I don't know where we're not going to Port Moresby. It's a little dangerous, I think.
Oh, okay.
We got the idea of Port Moresby because of all those Phantom shields. Did you like the shield?
Oh, I absolutely did. That would be one of my favourite pieces in the because I've seen so many photos of those, and to actually see one in real life was that was very
big, aren't they?
Huge.
And it's seen some action. Did you see where it's been mended in the middle with a bit of tin?
Yeah, actually, my daughters, when I went, asked about that. What's that? What's the circle in the middle there? So
I think a spear's gone through it at some stage.
Right.
but as
Very
you
authentic.
Said in the catalogue, they don't have spears so much now, and so the shields aren't being made anymore. unfortunately, the lawyer who owned that shield wants it back.
Right.
So this is what's happening with the show. The Portrait of Me by Elizabeth Cummings has to be withdrawn. The owner wants that back. It's a long time, like 3 years, to ask to have a loan of something, isn't it? You know, so.
So how much of the collection would be owned by private owners?
Most of it. Okay. Most of it's owned by private owners. Yeah, and it's not really for sale.
Right.
It's a museum show.
Yeah.
And we are doing silkscreen prints. Of course, we're self-funding. There's no grant or anything like that. Regional galleries do not have great finances. They do not, you know. They're we've had to pay for the storage and in between Mackay and Toowoomba, and we have to pick up all the extra costs and, you know, flying ourselves around, things like that.
I wondered about that. So it's obviously not a profitable exercise then for you?
Oh, no. We're quite out of pocket. We paid for the catalogue and everything like that, and I'd like to give the catalogue away free, but I think people like to give $5. You know, it puts more value on it. Did you like the catalogue?
I really love the catalogue. It's so informative, and just the way that it's been done up in the style of an old Fru.
Oh, I can't
really clever.
Tell you what trouble that was to
really?
Do. And of course, we were very disappointed because printing on that paper soaks up the colour. You know, so we found the comic was too dark, but now we love it. So, it really looks like a relic, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It looks like it could have come straight out of the 1940s and 50s.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just... it's definitely a labour of love. We will be having to sell things if we can, to pay for all these extra costs, you know, that are happening. Luckily, the shows... The distance between shows is not so big now. I think there's only a month between it and Broken Hill, and then... And then it goes to the Tweed River Gallery. Mm-hmm. Then it goes to a very interesting venue, is the Coffs Harbour Cartoon Bunker. Do you know that?
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Well, in 1943, the Japanese were coming down the east coast of Australia.
Yes.
And they didn't know what was going on, so they built a bomb shelter.
Right,
Under a hill, a great big hill, and it's been turned into a cartoon gallery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be quite, you'll have to come to that. That's going to be really something. We're going to build a big skull so that you enter the gallery through a skull.
Fantastic.
And it's on top of a hill, so there'll be sort of cut out characters as you walk up to the place.
So similar to the Jungle Patrol characters that are at
Absolutely.
The top.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, once again, we're dealing with councils. To build a skull, it's got to be cyclone-proof and things like that.
Okay.
You know? So I that's our plan, and we're getting Dare Jennings to open it because he met Lee Falk.
Right.
Yeah, he met Lee Falk. So have you heard of Dare Jennings?
No, I can't say that I have. I'm feeling
have you heard
I'm
of
getting
Mamba?
A great lesson tonight. Sorry?
Have you heard of Mamba? Mamba? Have you heard of Mamba?
Of course, yeah. So I thought that was Reg Mombassa.
No, Reg Mombassa was one of the Mambo artists, that's all.
I see.
And Dare Jennings was his thing, and he started out with Phantom T-shirts. And, of course, he only used Ray Moore and Wilson McCoy.
Okay.
Yeah, so there we are. Where do we go now?
Well, you mentioned there that you, part of the reason it's costing you so much is taking it to regional centres, and I can certainly, on behalf of the Toowoomba and Darling Downs community, thank you very much for choosing to do so. But you said there that we were kind of a stopping point between Mackay and Broken Hill. What is it that's led you to take it to those regional centres and Broken Hill in particular, which is probably not a place that gets a lot of travelling art shows, I wouldn't have thought?
Well, I guess what happened is that we have had shows in these galleries and they know us and trust us, you see. Mm-hmm. So... they're more interested in the art aspect of it rather than the phantom.
I see.
That's the way it is. And Ewan and me, and we've all had exhibitions in these galleries. I've been to the... Mackay has a... Every gallery seems to have something they specialise in. like Mackay specialised in artist books.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I met the Mackay people. So that's how we made the contacts, you see. But Toowoomba, we didn't have any contacts whatsoever. So that very nice girl, Tina Wilson,
mm-hmm.
was all over the telephone that we arranged that.
Okay.
So as I say, it's not necessarily the Phantom we're interested. We're interested in the artists, the art of the Phantom. Do you know
yep.
what I mean?
Yes, yep. I can, anecdotally, there's certainly that as well, because when I was standing at the counter on the way out, waiting to purchase a catalogue, actually, there were some regulars who came past, and the question was, oh, did you enjoy the Phantom exhibition? And they were, you know, they were a bit hot and cold. They liked some pieces and didn't like some other pieces. And it was obvious
yeah,
that they
yeah, like a typical exhibition.
Well, and that's how it should be, isn't it? Art will appeal to some
absolutely.
People and won't to others. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
So on that, the catalogue obviously has a great range in there, and there were some pieces that are listed in the catalogue that weren't at the Toowoomba exhibition. You mentioned Gary Shedd and one of
Gary
the...
Shedd, yes. We were very surprised. Gary Shedd's a very mild form of, I think it's Shunga art, which Shunga erotic art, which is a Japanese, have you seen the Japanese erotic prints?
I have done a bit of a Google search on those since you mentioned it to me in the
yes,
email.
Yes, they're quite out there, aren't they?
They are, and so the image, and just for people who haven't necessarily seen it, of the Phantom coupling with a young lady while someone looks through the window. Is not anywhere
yes.
near as full on as some of those other pieces.
No. In fact, he could be just assisting her, couldn't he? You know?
Absolutely. It could be a nurse
straightening her bedclothes, you know?
Yeah, it could be interpreted that way. And probably the innocents, like the children who don't necessarily see these things, may well think that that's what's going on.
That's right. And anyway, what happened, it struck a rock in Mackay because they printed some cards. And one of the cards was that one of Gary Shedd's. And somebody complained to the council who funds the gallery, and there was quite a lot of fuss made, and the postcard was recalled.
Right.
And they are very sought-after collector's items now. I think we have about two, you know?
Right.
So when people...
Well, it is Queensland's a very conservative state, unfortunately, and North Queensland and the Mackay area and certainly the Darling Downs are quite conservative.
Yeah,
so I assume
yeah.
that's why it wasn't shown in the Toowoomba Gallery either?
Well, I support that work because I think it's a very beautiful painting.
Mm.
I really, really do think it's very beautiful. I suppose I overlook that if some people might regard it as erotic because I just think it's so beautifully painted.
Mm.
And so we were a bit surprised about this because it's not a new painting, it's an old painting. It's been around for years.
Oh, okay.
And
1982 or 3, something like that?
Yeah, it's never had trouble like this ever. I mean, I said to Gary, all your paintings getting us into trouble. And he sort of was amused, you know. When we got to, it was shown by Mackay. They did show it.
Right.
So our policy is it's up to each gallery what they show, and we take no offence at anything they don't want to show. That's up to them. It's their business, you know. Well,
yep.
All we're doing is providing the art. We're not going to die in a ditch over anything. You know
fair,
what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And I think that's a good approach.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was funny, they told us in Toowoomba, that one of the works wasn't children-friendly.
Okay.
I haven't heard that expression before. But, look, I do take the point that it's sort of, you've got to be careful what children see, you know, in art. And there was a Robert Mapplethorpe exhibition down here, and there were some very confronting photographs, but they put them up quite high in showcases so kids couldn't see them. So that's how they got around the problem of not censoring it.
Right.
Just making it a bit restrictive for children not to see. So, I mean, the last thing I want to do is, show stuff that's going to disturb children or anything like that. So.
And look, the Phantom does have quite a history of being censored in Australia, particularly those... Wilson McCoy and Ray Moore years. Phantom Goes to War, for instance, is one that springs to mind for me about those censored panels with the Japanese torture.
Really? I never knew that. They were censored, were they really?
Yeah, some of the images of, for instance, Diana being strapped to a cannon at one stage was replaced with her being tied to a fence or a railing.
Really?
The Phantom kicking they censored a Japanese guard kicking the Phantom and turned it into punching or slapping or something like that.
How interesting. You told me something I didn't know. I mean, we should have those censored panels, you know, on show, you know. So,
absolutely.
Dietmar's present in hospital with a prostate, halfway through a prostate operation, poor fellow.
Okay.
But you should talk to Dietmar because he would know where to, you know, he has a comic shop in Hunter Street in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the reasons why we resurrected the Phantom show, because he's such a devotee of it all.
Mm.
And we thought, wouldn't it be good to, you know, push on with Dietmar? I'm actually one of the only original artists that still bothers. Gary's sort of bemused by it all, you know.
He's not creating new works for the show?
No. Oh, no, he's not. No, he's not. But Dick Frizzell's a different matter. He's a wonderful artist in New Zealand. He's the one who did the Grieving Phantom, which was turned into a silk screen print.
And that's the cover of the catalogue as well, isn't it?
The cover of the catalogue, yes.
And
that's just a
stunning piece. It's that'd be over 2 metres square, I would think. It's just huge.
It is, yes. Yeah, yes, it is huge.
Dominates the gallery, and it's just such a stunning image.
It is good, isn't it, called Grieving Phantom.
Mm.
And I did the other one, which is on the back of the catalogue, which is, it's actually called The Death of Susie. She took a bullet for the Phantom.
Yes.
And her dying request was to see his face. But you've read that comic, I'm sure.
Yes, The Governor and Susie. It's one of the absolute classics.
Absolute classic, that's
and
right.
And having the two of those hanging side by side in the gallery was a good excuse to explain to my wife the story, and I came home and gave her the comic to read. So I don't think she has.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
There's so much going on with this Phantom show. It's just amazing. It just goes on and on and on. You did ask why we only showed in the east coast of Australia.
Yes, that's a question from one of the other podcast members, Jermaine, who lives in Western Australia, and he's very disappointed that he's not going to be able to get across to see it.
Well, look, if he can raise the money to take it there, you know, in 2019 when it comes back from America.
Okay.
we're open, you know. Anyone who hears this podcast who'd like the Phantom show in their town, well, raise the money and it will come your way.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It will start changing quite. I think we have 40 artists now. After we get back to Manly, then we have to reconfigure the show to go to Los Angeles. It'll only be about 6 or 7 artists. It's just getting, you know, too unwieldy, you know, to look after the interests of 40 artists. And each artist will be responsible for paying for their work to go to Los Angeles.
Right. And you said, too, that some of the private collectors are keen to have their works back.
They are. But you asked me my favourite work, and it is the Charles Blackman gouache, you know, that big, tall, life-size Phantom.
Is that the one with the...
Hanging right in the middle of the show.
The burning ship in the background and the...
No. I like that. That's Ewan McLeod's. That's beautiful work. But the Charles Blackman one, Charles did it for his son, August. And I think 25 years ago,
yes,
he gave it to him for his birthday. Somehow August lost it or sold it or something, and it came up for auction just recently, and he was able to buy it back.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so it's in the show, and it's a magnificent work, and I really like to show original work. I don't like showing prints. That one is going to go to America for sure.
And that is, I've just flicked through and found that in the catalogue now. That is a stunning piece as well.
Isn't it a good piece?
And again, one of those really large pieces that just jumps out of you as you walk in.
And Toowoomba paid it justice and put it right in the middle of the show, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's one of the first things you see as you walk in.
Yeah, so that's going to Los Angeles for sure. We have, it's only a small gallery in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly we're going to San Francisco to the Minnesota Street Projects Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
They don't quite know what we're up to. So we're in negotiation with them. After San Francisco, I guess we could go to New York. Who knows, you know? We could go anywhere. We'll go anywhere we're wanted.
I know that it's interesting. Do you think, is there the call for the Phantom in America? Is an American creation?
Not so much. I mean, the Phantom's popular in New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Denmark, Spain. Not so much America. It's interesting, isn't it?
It is. Do you have any thoughts as to why that might be?
Well, he's not as glamorous as Superman or Batman or... you know, Marvel Comics, all those characters. I just don't get it. I honestly don't get it. That do they have reprints of the old comics like they do here?
Some of the fans on Facebook you talk to are from America and they're just crying out for comics. They're saying they can't get a hold of anything. There was I mentioned Sal Velluto as an artist before. He was the artist for a 6 comic book series that came out over the last 18 months, 2 years or so, and that's the first new Phantom comic they've had over there for a long time.
That's a new artist, is it?
Well, he's probably been around 10 or 15 years, I suppose, but yeah, relatively new.
Yes. No, I'm very close to that,
you know. Yeah. Well, the podcast has coined a bit of a phrase called a forecast, and I'm almost the forecast of the group at the moment. But I think you've got me absolutely covered because if you so I'm interested in something you said earlier about it's a shame they kept the character going. Would you have the character have stopped? What in the 60s or 70s?
Oh yes, definitely. I mean, do you follow those American classics like Crazy Cat?
No, I've seen Crazy Cat, but I can't say that I've followed it closely.
Little Nemo and Nancy and Sluggo and Cats and Jammer Kids. I mean, they are such classics that they live forever in their capsule. Do you know what I mean?
And the stories are intergenerational?
Oh, absolutely. Just wonderful humour. And, of course, we have Boofhead too, you know, Australia's own Boofhead. He's as good as any of them.
Right.
Do you know Boofhead?
I can't say that I do. I'm feeling quite ignorant tonight.
Good Lord. I don't think we've got Boofhead in the show. We'll have to put Boofhead in there. Oh, yes, I've done a sculpture of Boofhead as dressing up as the Phantom.
Is that the three of them together?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's in the show. But do Google Boofhead.
I will.
And you'll find I'll give you an example of Boofhead's humour. He takes his mother to the theatre, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, "How's your seat, Mum?" He said, and she says, "Oh, it's very comfortable." And then he said, "What's the vision like?" She said, "Oh, great vision. Everything's good about it." And he says, "Can I have your seat?" You see?
Yes, you're right.
I mean, it's old-fashioned humour and it's ruthless, you know?
Yep.
But it makes you laugh. There's not many comics that make you laugh, is there, you know? So Boofhead will be up, he'd be up there with the Phantom, you know, as a favourite, an absolute favourite. But we'll always love Wilson McCoy and Ray Moore. I believe Lee Falk actually drew the first comic.
Yeah, that's my understanding. The first few weeks or so before Ray Moore.
Yeah, and he did a good job too. I mean, I'd list him as one of the three great artists, actually.
Well, I think as someone who began it, has to be up there, doesn't he?
Absolutely, but we feel he lost the plot. You know, the fact that he's so bemused that we like those silly old corny artists, he'd probably regard them as. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So is it the art or the stories that is...
Both.
Yeah.
I think my favourite story is The Female Pirates. They're fabulous.
Yes.
You know, they're so great. So no, it's a synergy of both, of course, the stories and the humour. Both Ray and Wilson had fabulous humour, really just terrific. Deadpan, you know?
Yeah.
And
so did you collect the comics yourself, the Fruz?
I've got heaps of them, yeah. But I lost my original ones, and then I got... In Sydney, we get lots of reprints of black and white ones, you know?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. That, as far as you know, that's not happening in America, huh?
There's a small company called Hermes Press who are reproducing... They've done coffee table size books of the originals, and they're beautiful books as well, but quite expensive.
Mm.
And they're covering...
Oh, yeah, but they're not made like comics.
Oh, no.
No, with the staples and like we did with
no,
the catalogue.
No, these are full Sunday strip size...
Yes, they're collectors.
Exactly, collectors
books, annuals.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's all great, but we actually, through Publications, actually publishes the black and white comics, you know?
Yeah, they do.
I think they're about to work through the whole lot again. But I sent to America with my $300 for the first Phantom comic, you know, 1938, when it first came out. Is it 36 or 38? I'm not sure. Before Superman, by the way.
Yes, I think 36.
It arrived here, and I opened it, and it was like confetti. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
I was wondering why it was so cheap. And the reason it's so cheap is it's gone brittle, you know?
Right, yeah, of course.
It's actually in the show, and it's squeezed into a frame.
I saw that, so that...
That's it. That's it. If you opened that, you'd be able to see the first comic.
Right.
But I wouldn't leaf through it because it would start shattering, you know?
No, we wouldn't want that.
And that's very cheap, isn't it, for the first comic until you get it, you know?
Yes.
And I'm not disappointed. I mean, I'm just so glad we've got it, you know?
Yeah.
So there we are. I mean, it's sort of, it's so great that you've done this podcast. It'll be very good for Broken Hill. We can't think of anyone to open the Broken Hill show.
Well, maybe we'll put that out to listeners as well, if they can think of anyone to open that, get in touch with us,
Dame,
and we can pass it on to you.
Dame June Braunhill's not with us anymore, so we can't get her.
No.
But there's always, I think it was an amazing thing of getting Quentin Bryce to do it.
In her speech, you mentioned she dressed up as Diana. She talked about Diana being a... almost a seminal character for her, a role model and as a strong woman and a feminist and all the rest of it. Have you taken her advice on board and started producing some Diana artwork?
Yes, we have. That image of the Phantom diving, you know, into the water.
Yes.
Is it Kit Walker? That's Kit Walker, I think.
Yes.
That's the Phantom as a young man. We've actually done a female version of that for Quentin.
Oh, fantastic.
And Dick has redrawn it, and I said, Dick's very good at doing studies, you know, of like mail order drawing, which is classical, you know, you study shape and form and all those sort of things. And when you look at the one of Kit Walker, you think, now what have I got to change that to make it to a female? And he's done the most subtle things, and he topped it off by the toes being very neat, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And curled over. Like, if it was Diana diving, she'd like to enter the water very neatly, wouldn't she?
Well, possibly. She was an Olympic diver, wasn't she? So
that's right. She was an Olympic diver. So we've taken Quentin's advice, and that will be in the Broken Hill show. You shall see Diana Palmer diving.
Well, fantastic. Well, the next time I'll get to see the show will be when it gets to the Tweed. We actually holiday at the Gold Coast, my family, over Christmas.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's perfect timing
wonderful.
For me. Very delighted to
excellent.
Get along to that and see what changes have been made, what's in and what's out. And
Yes, what's in and what's out. That's right. And we always pick up a local artist, like David Usher is in the Toowoomba show. He's done those plates.
Right.
And so... And we've got a Broken Hill artist who's involved. So every time you get a local artist, it sort of makes the show work better because they're working hard to make it work too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good.
I don't know where we're heading. I don't know where we're going, but the show is on the road, and it doesn't look like finishing anytime soon.
Well, speaking of working hard to make it work, Peter, you've done a power of work to get this yourself and Dietmar and the others that are involved, and on behalf of all the fans who get a chance to go and see it, we really appreciate it. It's
that's great.
So special to be able to see something like that that, as I said, is completely unique and, yeah, just a joy to see.
Oh, thank you, Dan. That's great.
All right.
Well, I hope we meet up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do my best to get to the opening of the Tweed show, for instance, and perhaps catch up
and
with
Angus,
you there.
And Angus will be coming?
Oh, he loves it. He went four times in the end, and he was the tour guide for his sisters when we took them along, and he was...
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, no, he really enjoyed the show, so...
Oh, well, between you and Quentin Bryce, I think Toowoomba's going to be hard to beat.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Okay, Dan.
All right. Well, thank you very much again for joining us, Peter. I hope all the best with it as it goes forward, and really appreciate your time tonight.
Keep in touch. Okay, Dan. All the best.
So, welcome back to part two now of our special X-Band podcast, where we're interviewing the curators of the Phantom Art Show that's travelling around Australia at the moment. I'm joined now by Dietmar Lederwosch, the co-curator with Peter Kingston. How are you, Dietmar?
Very well. I'm pleased to be here.
Excellent, excellent. I have to tell you right off the bat, and I'm sure you have probably already heard, but the show, I absolutely enjoyed the show, and I went a number of times while it was here in Toowoomba, took my son along, and he loved it as well. So I'm probably a bit, don't want to be too gushing, but from the outset, you know, I think you guys have done a wonderful job putting the whole thing together.
Thanks, Dan. It's been an unbelievable journey getting it to this stage, and it's still a long way to go.
For sure, for sure. And we hope to find out a little bit about that journey as we go through tonight. But before we talk too much about the art show itself, I'm sure I'm certainly interested, and I'm sure most of the listeners would be interested in your personal history with the fandom. How long have you been a fan, and what do you like about the character, that sort of stuff?
Basically, it's the first thing I can ever remember reading. Well, I shouldn't say reading, because I was about 4 years old and I was in a newsagent in Maitland and found this through Phantom comic. I don't think I could speak English at that stage either, nor read, nor write. And I just found this black and white magazine that had the most incredible drawings. And I was just smitten by the drawings, first of all. And I guess I've become obsessed with comics ever since.
So which artist was that that first struck your eye?
It was Ray Moore.
Ray Moore, yep.
Yes, I think Ray Moore was the greatest Phantom artist of all time.
The original and the best?
The original and the best, yeah.
And so did you become an avid reader and collect the comics over time?
Oh, yes, I've collected comics. I guess I, at that stage when I was four, I didn't collect them, but I have ever since I could read, I guess, ever since I had pocket money.
Yep.
I remember going to all the second-hand bookshops in Newcastle every single day on the way home from school, just to try and get the latest comics that I needed for my collection.
What sort of time frame or era are we talking about here?
I guess that I'm just trying to, when I was probably about 10, 11, so early 60s.
Right. So did you find that they were readily available, some of the earlier ones at that stage?
Look, it's a strange situation where when I was a kid, if you found a 10-year-old comic, it was a really, really old comic and it was something really to be treasured. But now you find a 50-year-old comic and it's virtually disposable. Yeah, in those days, anything old, I particularly remember being absolutely enthralled when I found a few Ginger Meggs comics that were, you know, 10 years old. And they were just like treasure, gold treasure.
So obviously you became a fan of far more comics than just the Phantom then?
Oh, yes. The Phantom was the first, but not the last of many. I was always madly in love with Prince Valiant.
Oh, yeah.
The artwork in Prince Valiant was the most stunning I think I've ever seen. And I would always love to get another, or not another, but I'd love to get an original page of Prince Valiant.
Yeah.
I actually even call my daughter Alita after Prince Valiant's wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so was it the art that drew you into the comics more than the stories then?
Oh, look, it's always been the art. Art is everything. I don't care how bad the story is. If it's well illustrated, I'll look at it. I don't necessarily mean I'll read it, but I'll look at it.
For sure. So in terms of your favourite comics then, they would be comics where you really enjoyed the art more than the storyline, I suppose.
Yeah. Besides The Phantom, when I discovered American comics, I guess one of the first stories I can remember is Magnus Robot Fighter by Russ Manning. He was a beautifully illustrative artist, and he did Tarzan as well and Brothers of the Spear, and I love collecting their work. I've still got them all.
Yeah.
Still got all the old comics, except when I was learning to drive, I sold some of my Disney comics for threepence a comic, or 5 cents a comic, which I'm really still regret having done. Not
yeah.
that I'd swap my license for it, but I'd get close to it.
Yeah, fair enough. They don't make them like those anymore, do they?
No. It's a totally different world. I very rarely look at comics now, except for the old ones.
So, do you, in terms of the Phantom, do you have a particularly favourite story, whether it's for the art or for the storyline itself?
I guess the first story started in 1936. Will always be my favourite story.
Sure.
And that's, I think it's just those first 4 or 5 Sunday and daily stories that are just so wonderfully drawn. Nearly every panel is a work of pure art.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know the names of the stories, but if you showed me a comic, I'd know what story it is and
where it's come from.
Yeah, and when it was issued.
And so did you find yourself, lots of collectors find themselves going into not just the comics, but then, artwork or sculptures or plates or mini figures and that sort of thing? Did you find yourself going down that path as well?
Look, I would love to, but it's just, you've got to draw the line somewhere.
Yes.
And, when you've got, I don't even know how many comics I've got, probably 30,000. I'm not.
Even
know. Plus, I collect movie posters. And I've got probably 10,000 posters.
Wow.
It's just the whole house is just full of bits and pieces. I'm just looking up my pile of references here. I'll just pull down. I'll just grab my folder with says Phantom, and I'll just see what's inside it. I should have had this organised before.
That's all right.
Actually, I also collect quite seriously Australian comics that were drawn in Australia. Okay, now I'm just turning these pages. Postcards. Oh, I issued a set of newsletters with my pen and prints that I published, which I should make available for you if I can get if I can find them all. I've even got.
That'd be fascinating.
I've even got a couple of issues missing myself.
Right.
So track down some of the buyers. God, there's at least three missing.
So when you're talking about the prints that you put out, so obviously you've gone on to become an artist yourself.
When I say I put out, it was one of the greatest days of my life when I came upon the idea of issuing a set of phantom prints of every generation, which I tried to get going, and I sort of worked on it for, without a lie, every day of my life for at least 12 years.
Wow.
To get seven prints out. Cy Barry. I brought Cy Barry out to Australia and his wife, Simi, who is an absolute angel. And his print is one of my treasures, the original artwork of it.
So those it's the 99.94 series, is that right?
That's right, yes.
And
which are not part of the exhibition because Peter Kingston and myself had decided that we would try and concentrate only on Ray Moore and Wilson McCoy.
Yes.
And leave it at that, because after that there's just so many artists that we wanted to stick to traditional artwork rather than the new, more, I guess the way Peter described it, slick art.
Yeah, and you're right, once you get past the 60s, there's so many different artists to start drawing.
That's
the
right,
character.
Yeah. And a lot of them aren't very good, so I'd rather just stick to the good old days.
Sure, sure.
So I must admit, I do disagree with Peter on one particular artist, and that's Cy Barry. He's proven to be one of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life. And I still remember issue 212, I think it is, the first time Cy Barry was illustrated in the Fruit editions. And it just blew me away. I just couldn't believe the clarity of line work, the clean interpretation. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and he's obviously gone on to be massively popular with fans. Otherwise, he wouldn't be still drawing the Phantom today.
That's right. Now he's done a lot for the Phantom.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Yeah, one of my prized possessions is an original Cy Barry from the early 80s, which I've a Sunday, which I've had framed and proudly displaying in my own Skull Cove. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. He's certainly not short of fans.
No, and I guess rightly so. He sort of was dedicated, devoted to his job. And it was really funny when I brought him to Australia and got him to OzCon, the comic convention. His wife, Simi, just looked at me and said, "I cannot believe in America no one knows him. He is worshipped like a god."
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's wonderful. So when was that you brought him out to Australia?
That's a good question. It would have been 1990. See, that's a good question. 97, I think it was.
Okay. So and that's the time that you were working on the prints of the.
Yes, I was working on them for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And put out two mini-series as well, one in colour and another black-and-white series with Antonio Lemos as the artist.
Right.
Which we only published 100 editions and 200 of the mini, or they were called masterworks. So there's 200 sets of the masterworks in colour and 100 sets of the black-and-white.
I've read a little bit about those on the deepwoods.org website. And
you had a great website.
Yeah, very informative, very, very thorough.
Yeah, Brian Shedden, the guy who did it, really put a lot of work into it.
Yes, yes, you can tell heaps of research.
Yeah.
It's certainly a go-to for any Phantom fan who wants to catch up on anything. And all of your, the Masterwork series and the 99.94s are all pictured up there and people can go and have a look at those. Did you find them popular in terms of selling them on and that sort of thing?
I guess I never really marketed them in any way at all. As soon as I had one tidied up and printed off and signed and numbered, I went on to the next one and just left them sort of gathering dust.
Oh, right.
It's one of the things I keep saying, my wife keeps wanting me to do, is just get rid of them because there's so many of them around the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, one of those is in the art show, isn't it? The 22nd Phantom?
It is. That's by Paul Newton, who painted the 22nd generation, or the Phantom to be, Kit Walker. And it's a portrait of my son, so I think Peter made an allowance because of that.
Well, yeah, again, that's really stood out for me as one of the pieces in the show, perhaps because I've got a son myself who's about that age and with the blonde hair as well, and just that image of the young child sitting and reading so fascinated about the adventures of his father and wondering about following in his footsteps. It's a really, I find it a very evocative picture.
It's, and it's a beautifully rendered portrait as well. Yeah, Paul Newton has been in the Archibald at least half a dozen times, painted that, and it's just a beautiful portrait of my little son, who's now, he was born in 1990, so he's almost 26 now. So
yeah, yeah,
it's a long time ago.
So obviously you didn't put the show together just to show everyone that picture. What was it that inspired you and Peter? And what was the story in terms of how this particular art show came together and you started exhibiting it?
Look, I think one of the best paintings in the exhibition is Ewan McLeod. And it's an absolute stunner, the father of the first Phantom. It's a beautiful painting, and he took about 14 years to complete it. I commissioned him when he won the Archibald in 1999, and he finished in 2014.
Oh, wow.
So it was a long time coming, and it was just marvellous to see it develop and change over the years.
And that is an absolute stunning piece. It's huge for a start, and there's just so many features to look at in the image.
Oh, look, it's virtually telling the whole story of the Phantom in one painting.
Yep, and certainly my son was he stood there and looked at it for a while, and then I pointed out the silhouette of the Phantom, you know, the full scale. It sort of is really cleverly hidden in the background, but emerging. And as soon as he saw that, he was blown away. So.
Yeah, well, Ewan's, as far as I'm concerned, Australia's greatest living painter. I just absolutely love his work.
But he's not a Phantom artist traditionally, is he? You've commissioned him for this piece in particular?
Ewan's a traditional artist. His work is sort of just so unique. It's I'm just looking at the catalogue of his Father of the First Phantom, and it's just, yeah, you're right, it's got so much in it. It's a beautiful piece, and the figure in the bottom holding the skull, when just before he finished the painting, Ewan said, "Can I change it?" And I said, "Yeah, what would you like to do?" He said, "Can I put you in as the figure holding the skull?" And so he painted me in.
Oh, wonderful. I wondered if that was the case, if it was one of you guys in there.
Yeah, so it was quite good.
It's a really nice touch.
Yeah, especially with my son being in the catalogue as well. It's
yeah, a real family affair.
Generation after generation.
very good. And so you had commissioned these pieces from Cy and from Paul Newton, from Ewan McLeod, I guess, for your print collections that you were putting out. Is that how the art show started? You're putting those pieces together to display the original works?
Well, putting them together, I sort of left them for quite a while. And then when Ewan finished his, Peter Kingston saw it, and Peter then said, you know, we should have this on display. And then we sort of realised what wealth of artwork there is. And he said Peter had done other exhibitions of the Phantom. I think going back to 1973 or 76. And so we thought, well, let's do the next one. And so that's when it grew. And as you, if you look through the catalogue, you'll realise Peter's got a fantastic amount of work in the exhibition. He's done those absolutely wonderful cutouts, timber cutouts.
And continuing to produce more for ongoing shows.
Oh, I just cannot believe Peter's ability to work. Every time I see him, he's ploughing away at another print or another artwork or another sculpture or another piece of music. He's just the most all-embracing artist in Australia, I think.
Oh, wow. And so so getting the prints from or the artworks from a range of other artists that people seemed happy enough to contribute to those, or...?
Oh, look, people are sort of, I guess, in a way, clamouring over each other to try and get works in.
Yeah?
So we've got no worries about getting artwork in. When it comes to Newcastle, when the whole show comes to Newcastle, I think at this stage we're going to divide into three. The exhibition as it is at the moment, and then also back in 1977, when the Art Gallery of Newcastle was reopened in the new building, they had an exhibition of Phantom artwork, Ghost Who Walks Cannot Die.
Mm.
And there was a group of up-and-coming artists, Martin Sharp, Peter Kingston, Gary Shedd, people like that, who had an exhibition in 1977. So I want to revisit that exhibition as part of the show because it's going to be the 40th anniversary.
Of course.
Of that show. Yes, and then there's going to be emphasis on the 99.94 editions as well.
Oh, excellent.
So that's three-part. And also there's going to be the launch of a new... Well, it's not a new work of art. It's it was done for the movie, Billy Zane's movie. And it's an absolutely stunning piece by Drew Struzan, who's arguably the greatest movie poster artist of all time. And he did four compositions for the Phantom movie.
Yeah.
None of which were used. But he gave me one of the paintings.
Right.
And it's going to be one of the highlights of the exhibition.
Oh, wow. I had no idea that those even existed. That's fantastic.
No one does. He never sort of made a big deal about them.
Right.
But when you see them, they are just beautiful. They actually use the compositions that he did as a basis for the posters that they put out, the photographic ones, but Drew does most magnificent paintings.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm sure that that will be a very popular...
I'll send you copies of the composition, if you like.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. If we can, certainly put those up on the website for people to see, because if that's a... That would be absolutely magic, something emerging from the movie 20 years after the fact.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're stunning pieces of work, and when he said, would I like one, I just could not believe it. So he said, all you've got to do is say yes, and I said yes.
Of course.
So Drew's going to be one of the centrepieces of the exhibition. It's never been on display before.
Right.
So,
and the other three, would there be a way to find... copies of those images anywhere, or?
I've got copies of the images, but
fantastic.
I don't have the original.
The original
one of them.
Oh well, Dietmar, that'd be wonderful if you could send us copies of those for us to show everybody. That'd be fantastic.
Actually, one of the my favourite one out of the lot I used as a wine label for a magnum of wine that I released in 1999, I think it was.
Right.
99, yeah. And Drew kindly offered to let me use his work for that.
Oh, wonderful! So you've made something of a habit throughout the years of producing your own Phantom memorabilia, haven't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I start off with a set of postcards. I don't even know when that is. Hang on, it might be in this folder that I'll just pull down. It was incorrectly listed in Johnson's price guide. No, I can't find it. Oh, hang on, here we go. I don't know what year it was, but it would have been in the '80s anyway.
Yeah. So what is it, do you think, Dietmar, that's led you to creating all these? That you must have a real affinity for the character, or what is it about the Phantom that, you know, in many ways you've devoted your life to it?
Look, I think it's just that the storylines are so good, the artwork is brilliant, and I guess I'm always drawn back to my past, or to the things that in my dim, distant past, which I try to not relive, but never trying to forget. So by looking at the past, the Phantom was always there. This is a nice little anecdote. When I was courting my wife, well, before she was my wife, I was living in Brisbane and she was living in Sydney. And I sold my stack of Phantom comics to pay for airfares to come to visit me.
Oh, wow.
And then to get her back home, I sold my Uncle Scrooge collection. So the Phantom brought it to me and Uncle Scrooge took her away.
Oh, very good.
I'm just flipping through this folder. I guess that's it's memories that are evoked from all the past. You know, just by talking about the episode of the newsagent in Maitland, you know, just they're all memories that come flooding back.
Mm.
And they're all great memories. I was really fortunate. I had a magnificent mum and dad who supported me in everything I did. And you know, you hear as a comic shop owner so often people saying, "Mum threw all my boxes of comics away," and someone burnt this and someone burnt that. Whereas my mum respected anything that I treasured.
And so you have a comic shop now?
I've had one since I think I started in 1986 in Newcastle called Graphic Novel.
Okay.
And sort of it's gone through various changes over the years until it's now called Hunters for Collectors, because I try and hunt down things for people who collect.
Oh, okay.
So
people can come in.
Yeah.
Come and see you and say, "Oh, I'm chasing this," and you help them track it down.
Yeah. And I think that's a great part of collecting, just tracking things down.
Mm.
It's the hunt.
So do you have a favourite thing in your own personal collection out of your 30,000 comics and your 10,000 posters and all the rest of it?
Look, I think probably the thing that I love the most that I've got as a possession is an original cell with original background from the Beatles cartoon. The Beatles cartoons came out in 1964, and they were produced around the world.
Mm.
But the very first episode of Hard Day's Night was painted in Australia.
Oh.
And I met, through this Phantom project, I was commissioning a guy from Sydney who was in a university lecturing in art. And I found out he was one of the original animators, and he fortunately had thrown away most of his artwork from the Beatles cartoons, except for the ones that he'd sent to his mum when he, a 16-year-old boy, who got a job at the Art Transit studio, and he sent about a dozen animation cells home to his mum and said, "Look, this is what I'm doing." Unfortunately, because he threw hundreds of them away, they were still intact, and so I bought one of them off him, and that's probably my pride and joy.
Sure.
I mean, there's other things. But I got to know Monty Wedd, who was an illustrator of Australian comics, Captain Justice, Scorpion, things like that, which were amazingly drawn. And he had a museum just outside of Newcastle, Williamtown. And I used to go and visit him quite often. Whenever I'd find a new edition of Captain Justice or something, I'd drive up to visit Monty and get him to sign them. And he gave me some beautiful little illustrations that he did. Yeah, so I've been really lucky meeting all these artists as a result of the Phantom. And laid the groundwork for all my passions ever since.
Yeah, for sure. And I gather you're a bit of a regular at the Leafhawk Memorial Bengali Explorer Club dinners. Would that be accurate?
I think I've missed three.
Right.
And that actually, one of them was when I was at I was in America and staying at Cy Barry's place, and I figured that was a good enough excuse.
I think it can be excused for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I love going to the dinners there. A great opportunity to meet people who have got similar interests, and also to see all the new artwork that comes out. The generosity of so many people to donate artwork, and we raffle it off or auction it off. The money goes to Kids Hospital in Sydney. Mm-hmm. So, and I always donate at least one print to each dinner, and that gets raffled off.
Mm-hmm.
And they raise about $300 per print, so
mm-hmm.
which is over a few years, it's worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. Now I haven't been to any of them myself, but I've promised Jermaine Parker, who you may know, he's one of the other blokes.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know Jermaine.
Yeah, he is on the podcast as well, and so I've promised him that I'll be meeting him at the dinner next year. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah, well, I've already booked it in with my wife, and she's ticked off to say that I'm allowed to go, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's really worthwhile going.
Well, I think for a lot of Phantom fans, it's easy to feel like you're the only one, because it's not Spider-Man or Superman or Batman. It's not one of the super popular things, and it's easy sometimes to feel like there's no one else out there, and it must be a special feeling to be able to get together with a whole bunch of people, like-minded people, as you say.
Yeah, basically, I guess it's an old man's hobby, the fandom, except for and there's still some young people who carry it along, but I think it's an old man's field to be involved in.
Is there, and that's certainly something we talk about a fair bit, because Jermaine and myself and Stephen and Joe, the other two who we work with here, we're all in our 30s, and obviously we'd like to, we often feel like we're the youngest, in the youngest generation of Phantom fans. Do you think it's possible that he'll continue to still appeal to the youngsters coming through? Is there anything that, we should be doing
Look, it's hard to say, because I think comics in general are dying. The new ways of entertaining kids is leaving reading and hard copies of things like comics way, way in the background.
Mm.
But having said that, it's people like yourself who maintain an interest. And that's where I look at the Phantom. He wouldn't be anywhere near as popular now had the younger generations not kept him alive.
Mm. Mm.
And despite the fact that most of the artwork I'm not too keen on of late, they're still performing a function, which I think is good, keeping the spirit of the Phantom alive.
Mm. Are you keeping up with the Frews, especially this year after Glenn Ford and Renee White have taken over the company, the changes that are going on there?
No, look, to be honest, I've been so involved with this project.
Sure.
And I've also started doing my own artwork for the project as well. And that's what it takes up from morning till night. Plus I make archival boxes, cylinder boxes for artists like Peter Kingston and Ewan McLeod. And they take at least 1 to 2 days, sometimes 3 days, a box to make.
Mm.
And so I just don't get time to, as I said, I don't read comics anymore. I just look at the pictures.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And if that's what got you into it and has been a mainstay all the way through, that's completely understandable. Yeah. Do you have any? Are there any of the modern artists that you do like? Some of the more prominent ones are Sal Velluto, Alex Saviuk, Kari Lapinen. Are there any that you particularly enjoy, or you don't really keep track of them?
I don't really keep track of them. So just open up a comic, see it's not Ray Moore or Wilson McCoy, and close it again.
Fair enough.
I'm just trying to. There is a comic, an Italian comic that I've got here somewhere that was very beautifully illustrated, but I can't remember his name. Felming, maybe. Yeah, I think it's Felming.
Yes, Felming's very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he produces some beautiful stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's the comic illustrator that I'm referring to.
Yeah.
I think it is.
So how much work is involved for you in terms of progressing the show around Australia? It's between exhibitions at the moment as we speak. It's left Toowoomba now and opens in Broken Hill at the end of September. Is there a lot to do over this period between exhibitions?
Well, at the moment we're going to be putting out a couple of prints, so I've had to contact King Features, the copyright owners in Melbourne, and I'm sort of starting negotiations with them about what prints we're going to use and how many we're going to print and stuff like that. So it'll be a legal bind that we're going to be involved with. Not a bind, I suppose, but there'll be a fair bit of work trying to get contracts organised and things like that.
I suppose they're pretty busy this year, being the 80th anniversary with the request. Is it an 80th anniversary thing that you're looking at putting out, or more
No, we're
linked
just,
to?
because of the huge cost of getting this show on the road and going from town to town, we're trying to raise some funds to cover some of the costs.
Sure.
So we've had a couple of artists, Ian Grant and Dick Frizzell, who have given us permission to use their artwork to make silk screens out of. And they look absolutely stunning.
Actually, I can vouch for that. Through the discussions with Peter, I became aware of the Dick Frizzell, the Grieving Phantom print, and picked one of those up myself. And yeah, they're so clear and so such a beautiful representation of the artwork. It really wonderful.
They are, aren't they? And the quality of the work that the actual screen printer has performed is just amazing. Just the most perfect clarity. And so if anyone is interested in supporting the show, they can always contact you or us. And we're only producing 10 of each. So once they're gone, they're gone.
Okay. Well, absolutely. And anyone who's listening who'd like to, I know the catalogues have been flying around the country from people who can't necessarily, haven't necessarily been to Wollongong or Mackay or Toowoomba. There's people like myself and other collectors who have come along and purchased four or six or more of the programs and sending them around to friends. So if anyone's flicked through those and seen those images, absolutely get in touch with us here at Chronicle Chamber, and we can put you on to Dietmar and Peter and hook you up with
Fantastic.
those.
There's also another thing that we're going to be producing, which we haven't been able to clear yet with King Features, but there's a Solander box that I made with actually 16 prints, signed and numbered prints involved in that, and they are absolutely stunning. And as well as the prints, there's going to be an original Frew Fandom comic that's worth $100 to $200, and then any postcards and things like that that come out from each venue, it'll be filled with that. So there are, and there's only going to be 10 of those as well.
And the prints that are in the that are collected there, they're all of works that are in the show?
Not all of them, but most of them are. Some of them are specifically done for the box.
Okay.
Again, I'll get copies of those for you
Yeah, well,
and send it
any
to.
information you can send, or images in particular, so that people can see what they're buying. We'll absolutely put those up on the website, so people can have a look at
Okay.
those and get in touch with you about picking those up.
Oh, wonderful.
But well, as I said to Peter, it really is a magic show, and it's there's so many variations of the Phantom and interpretations of the Phantom, and it's not something that you see every day.
No.
I think as a Phantom community, it's something that we should get behind and support. And, you know, Peter talked about people picking up the tab to take it over to Perth. It just needs to go and be seen by as many people as possible.
Yeah, look, we would love to take it over to Perth, but again, that's just when you've got about 100 pieces of art, the insurance alone is just horrendous.
Mm.
And then the transportation costs. Plus, we're trying to get it to go back to America, Los Angeles, in 2018, which we've got booked into a gallery, but I'm hoping that will eventuate.
Mm. Yep. I just hope that you are able to get it as round as much as possible. But Peter was talking about some of the owners of the artworks wanting to get their pieces back too, though. So I suppose it is a movable feast in terms of what people can see when they go.
Yes. Plus, I mean, my wife is constantly on my back about getting back the painting that we've loaned of our son.
Mm.
Because she's missing that. Plus, the portrait that Ewan McLeod did for me, with me in it, has never even been in the house yet. So I'm busting to get it home.
Would you? You'll need a fair bit of wall space to be able to hang that one.
Yep. It's a beautiful. I've got about two other paintings the same size as that.
Right.
Rosemary Valadon is a beautiful painting of her having done the Phantom, the 15th Phantom, getting married. And it's a stunning painting. Yeah, all the 99.94 edition prints are perfect in their own way.
Mm.
And I love each one of them. Like my son's portrait, Rosemary Valadon's, Ewan McLeod's. They've all got something really special about them.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Franz Kantor with a portrait of the Phantom on the wings of a plane over New York.
Yes.
Which actually was finished. It was painted. It took about 2 to 3 years to paint, and it was finished the night of 9/11.
It
had images of the planes attacking New York.
Right. That's yeah, that's ironic. Unfortunate timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'll send you copies of that as well.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, well, as I say, I'm sure the more people who can see those and appreciate them and perhaps get in touch and get some prints for themselves, the better.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
No worries at all. All right, well, is there anything else you can tell us about the show that we haven't already covered?
I'm sure as soon as I hang up, yeah. I'll think, oh, why didn't I say that? Why didn't I say that? Now, look, I think it's just going to be an ongoing thing that it may be, you know, we've only planned it till 2018. Maybe it'll go longer than that. We just don't know. It's sort of become a life force under its own.
Yeah. It seems, Peter was saying that people are keen to have it come to their... I know Toowoomba got in touch with you to ask for it to be here or something.
Yeah, most of the galleries actually approached us. Originally, it was only going to be a 9-day event at the Australian Galleries.
Wow.
And when Wollongong asked for it, we sort of jumped for joy. I thought, oh, isn't that great? It's going somewhere else. And then Mackay and the Tweed, and it'll be going down to Coffs Harbour, the Comic Bunker down there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just going to be viewed by hopefully as many Phantom fans as possible. And not just Phantom fans, but art fans. I guess that sounds a bit trite, calling them fans, but people who appreciate beauty and art will be astounded to see the huge amount of interpretation to the Phantom.
Mm. And whether they are fans themselves or not, they'll be able to appreciate. And I mean, there's such a diversity of pieces in there that, you know, there's going to be stuff in there that people love and stuff in there that people aren't sure about. But
yeah, there's even pieces that I'm not too keen on.
Right.
But I can't say which ones.
No, I wasn't going to ask.
There's not many, but there's one or two.
Yeah, but that's the nature of art, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it could be a great piece of art that I may not particularly like it.
Mm.
I just opened the catalogue and there's, I open it up on the page that I don't like.
Well, as as I was saying to Peter, if I remember rightly, that's one man's trash is another man's treasure, and what you don't necessarily like so much, someone else will absolutely fall in love with, and vice versa.
Yes, and I was actually talking to Reggie Mombassa at Ewan McLeod's birthday, 60th birthday, and he's doing another Phantom as well.
Oh, is he?
So, yes. So I can't wait for Reggie. He's a great artist.
Yeah, and his interpretation. I've just flicked over to the Thoughtful Phantom.
I was just looking at that.
It's a striking image in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a beauty. Mm. There's also a lovely image by Michael Bell, who's another Newcastle artist, the ghost who walks his dog.
Yes. And it's probably the sort of joke that lots of Phantom fans have made at some stage, and to see that represented there is, it's beautiful.
Yeah, actually, Michael Bell is one of the artists in the set of prints that we've got going. I'm just trying to see. One of the shields has gone out, but another shield's coming in.
Oh, the Papua New Guinea shields?
Yeah.
Yep. You've done well to get a couple of those there. There can't be many of them around.
No, well, actually, one of the guys who, or the guy we're getting this one from, he's got three of them.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know which one we're getting. I haven't seen the three that he's got, but he's been collecting for a while.
Mm. Well, I think a lot of fans would have seen photos of those at different stages, but each one's unique and original, obviously, and a work of art in itself, and practical.
Yeah. Actually, one bit of news that Peter hadn't even thought of when he had his interview with you is that Peter's doing another game. He did the chess set.
Yeah.
He's now done a huge snakes and ladders game.
Really?
Yep. So that's going to be, I think that's going to make its appearance, as a scoop for you, make its appearance at the Broken Hill show.
Wonderful. Excellent.
I haven't even seen it yet.
Right. And fully playable, I'm sure. People will be able to get in and roll the
yes.
dice. And oh, they will.
I'm hoping so anyway.
Oh, I was joking. I thought it might be under glass. And
no, I think, well, I think if you're very carefully throwing the dice, you'd be able to have a game, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and again, I don't know if you listen to the podcast where I actually was in the gallery with my son. He was running around, and he particularly loved the dioramas that, you move the handle. And
oh, yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah. And
Peter's done so many wonderful ones of those.
Yeah. And that sort of interactivity, that's, he'll remember that show for the rest of his life on running around, and I had to tell him not to run around in the art gallery, but yeah, he was going straight from those to play with those.
But isn't it magnificent that an event like that has brought someone into an art gallery that may not have gone to an art gallery before?
Yeah, that's exactly right, and it was the first. I've lived in Toowoomba for 6 years. It's the first time that I've ever set foot in the gallery, and we've been back since to see other exhibitions and those sorts of things. So,
well, Toowoomba was so far the pick of the venues. The time we had there in Toowoomba was just amazing. Found a great little cafe on the railway line,
mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful weather. Yeah, everything about it was just perfect.
Well, it's the best little city in Queensland.
Look, I loved it. I can't wait to go back.
Oh, well, make sure you let us know when you come back, and we'll catch up and have a coffee at the railway.
Oh, look, I can't wait.
That'll be great. No, it's just been wonderful to talk to you, Dietmar, and get your perspective on things. And once again, just thank you on behalf of all the fans who have seen it for what you've done in terms of bringing a bit more fandom into our lives.
Yeah, well, thank you, and really, I'm so pleased to hear that the Phantom spirit is up and well and living in Toowoomba.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you're bringing it out of people.
And if there's anything else you want to know, just give us a hoy.
Yeah, no worries. And if there is anything that you think of as soon as we hang up, then feel free to flick me an email or whatever, and I'll make sure I put it in the written article that we put up
okay,
on the website.
Okay, and I'll get images sent out to you as well.
That would be fantastic. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, mate.
All right. Thanks very much, Dietmar. I'll talk to you soon.
Fantastic.
there's only one Phantom.